Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Alright, you can see our things on the board for tonight. Gita Mysteries Night, which we explore Bhagavad Gita. In order for you to develop a proper lifestyle, obviously you're going to have to deal with these questions. They're very important. Thought about these questions. Hey, you thought about kind of questions? You thought about these kind of questions before? Yeah. Are you trying for taste in this world?
Yeah.
You're trying to grasp pleasing sense objects, right? And you're trying to fight off sense objects that aren't pleasing. So there's a particular flavor that you're pursuing that causes you to struggle on, right? So have you thought about the other question before? Then did you start thinking about doing that? When you were a little older, just recently? Sit in your flat and just, Are you going to, you go to cafes and chat with others there? Did you notice that while you don't have any answers to these questions, something's pushing you to act? Spell of material nature. You know that. For example, if someone's casting a spell. So it's like material nature has cast a spell over us, so that even though we don't know the answers to essential questions, still we're so ready to act. We're so ready to try to taste things with our senses. Because it's not like we're just sitting around doing nothing, waiting for the answers to fall from the sky. Okay? So you should think, what has impelled me to act? Even though I don't know anything. I don't know. Why do I have my body? How did I get this body? How will I quit my body? What do I, of course I have some idea, what do I taste with this body? And The answers to these questions, or even if we theoretically know the answers, as many of you in this room do, but they're not willing to follow through, then how can life be successful? How can you have a meaningful lifestyle? Most people fit into the ignorant category. They don't know at all. Nor do they care. When I was sitting in here, before you all came, students were coming for the Hatha Yoga. So a couple of them walked by and looked at philosophy. Some people are interested in these things. It is rare that persons are interested in these things. And when you do get a few people who are interested in these things, usually they have a theoretical understanding. But they're not willing to act according to the conclusions of that kind of knowledge. It becomes like a belief system for them. But their life doesn't show that they firmly understand these principles. So, I think we should discuss these one by one. Why do I have one present thought? Is it a gift from God? Is it by chance? So I'm concentrating on Sarah and Maria, that's the newer starting to give them a chance to raiders of the Lord and splash your hands and kind of thing. It's fun. Don't you think? So there you are. How old? 24. Okay. Why do you have this body? Because nobody's 24, it won't only be 24. Together and they created you.
Yeah.
All the aspects of you?
Yeah.
All the, every part of you was created by your parents? Yeah. Your consciousness was created by your parents? Every aspect of your being is created by your parents. Physically. So your physiology was created by your parents. But have you thought that there's other aspects of yourself besides physiology? And let's say you were sitting at a cafe, the sun dying, you said, no. What would you think? Mm-hmm. Is that because you think, well, that certainly can't be true, so what does that mean, right? What about you, or if someone said, what did you say? How is everyone a spiritual being? Let me just remind our team, and then remind our regulars. You know, we start at 6:30, so kind of, you know. So you would say that. Here's the body, and the
part of the soul.
How would you say the body is part of the soul?
I'd say the body is the right. The body is like the heart, and the soul is like the whole being. Like the heart, yeah. Like the whole body, like the body itself is actually not as big as. Why is that the letter? And the mind is the letter.
Okay, so then number two. Well, still, we haven't done number one yet. Why do you have that body?
I think it's because I'm meant to be here and I'm meant to be in the body. Things that are going to happen to me are happening now.
You're meant to be in this body. Why?
Yes, I'm meant to be.
Why? Maybe you're not meant to be.
Well, then I wouldn't be here, I'm sure.
Well, it could be, suppose you're driving down the street and you're supposed to, say, go to the lower hut, but you continue on out to Harua. What would you say? Well, it's just meant to be.
Okay, good.
You say that?
I'm on the way. Probably.
You just say it's meant to be?
Yes.
You wouldn't say, hey, I just took a wrong turn?
Yeah, well, if I wanted to go to the lower hut, then that's because I'm wrong. Yeah.
Right.
I would know to tell what's the matter with my attitude.
So maybe it could be that. Maybe that you're having this body was a wrong turn.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't really meant to be, but it's just something that you did.
I don't believe that.
You're meant to have that body.
Yes.
And why?
Something, yeah.
Why?
Because I'm, learning.
And what's the lesson to be learned?
Not a lesson, I haven't properly learned, but...
Well, what is that lesson?
I don't know, approaching it is learning. I don't know if I
speak
it in the
front. Well, don't mind me asking. I always ask this question. How do you learn if you don't know what the lesson is?
I learn on the way that you learn lessons all the time.
And what's the purpose of school?
The purpose of school is probably to understand It's all understanding, it's not knowledge. Not everything that's answered is knowledge. To be knowledge to yes, understand. You tend to come up with literature or facts or sports or social aspects.
Well, you know, the reason I ask you is because in school they have lessons. So if you say that you're supposed to, you have this body to learn lessons, then it's like a school, yes?
It's past years.
But no one seems to know what the lessons are they're supposed to learn.
I think you might not understand what the meaning of lessons, but there are lessons everywhere. Not everybody's able to learn what's meant for them.
Can you tell us what's meant for you?
No.
The curriculum isn't clear, the purpose isn't clear. Would you go to any kind of, school like that? Would you enroll in a school like that? Polytech or the uni? You go, how do you register for courses here? You go to the registration office. Well, suppose you go to the campus and you enroll in the office, you say, I want to sign up for these courses, these papers, you call them, right? Mm-hmm. You want to sign up for these papers. And someone asks you, well, what's the purpose of this paper? I don't know.
No, I don't quite agree with that. I think things to choose for actions. He said, it's right. We often don't think before we act because we don't have a result and we don't know what it's before. So absolutely. But I think part of the life is to search and to try.
What are we searching for?
I think most of the things is super. That suits me, or people look for things they think they have talent in, so they want to achieve something.
Still, we haven't. That's why I like this list of questions here.
I'm not here to answer those.
Well, I guess we have to turn to Sarah. Sarah of Nottingham. Why do you have your body? I mean, you just kind of popped out of the room in Nottingham. Someone slapped the name Sarah on you. Yeah, did you used to think about these? The first question, why do you have this body? When you're sitting up on your computer screen here, you're also and then during lunch break, did you say to your workmates,
I was working on a very big problem. How do you have this problem?
Never do that. If we don't know why we have this body, then how can we arrange an effective lifestyle for ourselves? You ever wonder about that? Well, is it so that although we haven't thought about the body, still we're doing so much with the body, right? suppose, you know, you meet some guy somewhere, and you invite him, or he invites you, or whatever, you know. And all of a sudden, you know. Change it, but the soul remains constant. You understand that? there? You can see in this lifetime how your body has changed. Your teenage body's gone, your baby body is gone. But you still feel that you're the same basic person. So that shows you that even before death, your body is changing. So therefore, if you survive bodily changes in this life, why can't you survive the bodily change known as death? In other words, death is just another one of the bodily changes. See my point? This is the knowledge that Krishna gives you, by the way. There are six changes of the body described in Vedic knowledge. They're known as in Sanskrit Shakti Kar. So birth, growth, maintain at a certain level for a while. Give off some offspring, you dwindle, and then death. These are six changes of the body. Now you survived so many changes already. So why is it that death means the end? And it could be that death is just another change that you're passing through. See the point?
Yeah.
Just like you survived your teenage years. Similarly, you can survive death. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that someone who actually has knowledge is not bewildered by these changes of the body. Why should we think that death means no future? And death is just one of six changes, and you've already survived the other changes. If we say that we're spirit soul, then the question is, how does a spirit soul acquire a material body? Would you agree? That's another question. They're also creatures, soul. What is the relationship between the soul and the body? That we have to try to understand. That might. Solving this paradox might really open up new opportunities for you in life. Just like 24, that is okay. So you're thinking, what will your life be, right? Can't travel around forever, right? So you'll be nesting time, right? Right? Yeah? Never. Ninety-9.9% of them sleep and left their nest, you know. So naturally, you begin to think. What is my purpose in life? If I'm the soul that's just wearing a body. Why should I be so absorbed in these bodily activities that actually I'm the spirit soul? The problem, however, is that no one knows what our spiritual activity is. Therefore, they're forced to act as your own. Suppose you met some guy someday and they said, "Hey, sir, this is just the spirit." What would that mean to you? Let's say that again. Huh? No, I'm speaking in general. Or did you think that he's loony or something? What about you, Jack? Did you? Some woman at work came up to you and said, "You know, Jack, I really appreciate it. I really need you to see me." What did you say?
You should have, you know.
And then what would you tell me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you. You see, because people don't have this required knowledge, they're forced to have ignorance. That is a great problem. They don't know why they have this body. They don't know how they got it. What's next? Okay, how do you give up the present body? In other words, what's forcing you to give up this present body? Why can't you keep this body? Why can't you keep this body?
Why
can't you
keep it?
That'd be a teenager prayer. Not fun being a teenager? Why? Everything's uncertain. That's a good answer. Everything's uncertain. What is some of the uncertainty that you're asking? Who are you? Why are you in this world? What are you doing? Is everybody like you? Okay. They hang out for other people. They notice you. Are you having enough fun with everybody else? You're sure they're all enjoying it. Everyone's enjoying except you, right? That's what you think of this. And when will this situation be changed? When you get into your 20s, right? And that's when it all happens, right? Oh, they get more complicated. More distressing.
Why? Why?
Because I'm looking at it. What do you think, Maria? She sounds really negative.
Yeah, because I think she's struggling with what she was going to do. She's been up and trying to do it. And all the decisions kind of get professional. And then how do you take your life?
Those are important decisions?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because you think, you make decisions that have the rest of your life. So you take up, you know, study law or stuff, or study medicine, you have to make kind of the right decisions, but you don't have to spend all the time
studying something that doesn't take a lot of money.
Yeah.
Those are the important decisions, right?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Okay, it's true. I agree you do those things, but is it an important decision?
It seems to be an important decision because you have to you want to be independent from your parents. And you have to live on your own and so on.
But what's the use of independence if no one knows anything?
No one knows anything?
They don't know the answers to these questions, so what's the use of the independence?
I think it's
a government, I guess. Yeah.
Well, it's a
government, then.
No,
but it's... Suppose someone said to you, Maria, don't make another act. Don't do another action until you understand why you have this body.
I think it's very confusing. It's very challenging.
Yeah,
I like that.
Is it for real, though?
Yeah, if I could find the answer, it would be good.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't look ahead to your 20s and see that it's time to choose your career, profession, and how you actually feel for yourself and how you live for you. Well, then, have you ever thought, why should you age? Maybe the body should just stay where it is. What's forcing you to become older? So even if you didn't want to grow older, still, you grow older. Why? Why is this body always changing? Then why do you have a body that's changing? That's the way it goes. So, how did you enter into this process? Did you ever think that you were going to be like, okay, I'm going to be a teenager soon, I'll be next 14, and I'll be older than I am, and I'll be older than I am, and I'll be older than I am. You grow up like it is. Everyone here was like that? When you were 8, 7, or 8 years old, you couldn't wait to get older? You were like that? You thought that at your age, what was attractive about getting older? So, at what age did you feel you were doing whatever you wanted? Then you were. Instead, when you were 14, did you do an error on this? So the result was unlimited happiness. Mm-hmm. Let's just do it whatever you want to do, usually me. You didn't have that as a little kid? Did you have it as a teenager? So what is it that you did that got the happiness you didn't have as a little kid? When you were a little kid, like playing with dolls, and then you just threw the dolls and smashing against the wall. I want to be a teenager! Did you ever play dolls? Have a Barbie doll. Do they still play house, you know? Yeah, they still do. The parents buy them these stoves and, you know, they still have. I thought in this day of, there's no more gender-specific roles, you know. I wouldn't go on. Did you play house when you were little?
Yes, I used to play the auto car.
So, when you were a little kid, you were a kid. Something like this. Nothing better. But bigger meant better? When did that magic moment of independence come? Now my body. body is old enough, I can do things my way. You never tried to do things your way? So when did you? Okay, but when did you, being a teenager, when did you feel like, okay, now I'm in control, now, you know? So what were all the great options available to you? When you were a teenager, you felt like, wow, the world is opening up to me.
Yeah, something was, I think it was about 20 when I was born, saying, baby, I think, without realizing how actually free I was. And I think teenage years were more that struggle. I was knowing myself more, like, more playing a role than that. I would be seeing that from you, people could think of me. Whereas as a child, I would never consider that. Even if not, it's something we can see from the outside. It's just there. Like you're in it.
Think about this. How can you actually be free with a body that's subject to deterioration?
If you don't feel like you're in your body, and your body isn't a limitation for you,
you won't feel like you're in your body.
You don't feel like your body's a limitation.
Why should you feel that way?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, well, no. Why? It seems to me that if you're going to be realistic, you have to feel your body's limitation.
If you're growing older, you feel it.
Who's not growing older?
Everybody's a fool. The children don't realize it, first of all, the children don't. They don't have the knowledge to judge or to see. They can see somebody's bigger, but they, as soon as you understand, you want to die. You're hearing about death.
Do you worry about that now?
No, I don't worry about it.
How does it happen easily?
I'm breathing out and breathing in.
You sure that's all
that's
going on?
That's the last thing that's going on.
No, you're sure that that's the subjective experience.
Well, it should probably happen.
According to the Vedic knowledge, at the time of death, you're basically ripped out of your body, which you've spent so many years being attached to. So it's very painful, because you live your whole life identifying with your body, and all of a sudden you're being ripped out of it, and you don't know where you're going. Because as we said, we don't even know why we have the body in the first place. So you think you're just going to give it up peacefully?
Yeah, it's very challenging, but I think it would be,
I don't know how you want to quit the body, but, existing. Won't as yet come. Do you think you're just going to let go of your body like that? Suppose we were talking the other night about someone who has a car, and it's a real junky car, but it's all they have. If I come along and say, get rid of the car, you're not going to do that, right? Because it's all you have. Similarly, you don't know anything else except identify with the body. You're not going to let go of the body or anything. From the external point of view, it looks like someone can die a peaceful death, but you don't see what's really going on in your consciousness. Can you imagine being kicked out of your body and not knowing where you're going to go next? Suppose you live in a flat now? In a house. Okay, suppose there you were in your house, and then somebody beats on the door. Hurry up, get out, get out, get out of this house! You can't stay here any longer, get out immediately! You'd be terrified, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but even though I should get out of my
door
because I didn't have,
I wouldn't have that to go. Right. So you'd be so terrified if someone suddenly demanded you get out of your house. Like it happens in countries where there's wars, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or even when they, like in the USA, they just have these tornadoes. Yeah. So, all of a sudden the warning came, tornado coming, and everyone, had to run out of their houses and try to find a safe area. The tornado passed through, they looked up and their house was gone. You see how traumatic it was for them? What's speaking to you with your body? Suppose you got the word tonight. Hurry up, you gotta give up that body tonight. What would you say? Yeah, it's all fine. No, you wouldn't.
I'm not ready. I don't want you now. I haven't learned all the things I need to learn.
Right?
Well, it's good to be, but I was, of course, we've got him. I'm a color.
Of course, because you don't know anything better.
Yes, exactly.
So therefore, I say, some people have no idea of their spiritual identity. Others have a theoretical idea. But we actually have to find a process by which we can verify our spiritual identity. Okay, let's turn to page 724 in Mother Vidita. Page 724, this is chapter 15. Entitled The Yoga of the Supreme Person, text 10. I'll read the Sanskrit. Utkamantam sthitam dhatam unjanam radhanadhikam umudanam kashmiti kashmiti jnana chakshisha.
Yes,
but one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this.
Okay, you have to read the purpose.
Is there anyone in the purpose?
Trained in perceiving these things. This is the real wealth we should strive for. This is the lesson that we should learn. Why do I have this body? How do I quit this body? How do I get this body? That's the lesson. But no one's learning it. Therefore, what happens when you don't learn this lesson? You have to repeat birth and death again and again and again. Till you understand why it is you have this present body. How did you get it? How are you going to quit it? These things must be understood. So one who's trained to understand these things, that is the fortunate person. Bhagavad Gita is teaching you how to understand these most important things, and then you can devise your lifestyle. Under the illusion of sense enjoyment, you're suffering different types of happiness and distress. How do you suffer happiness? It's an unusual concept, isn't it? What do you think, so? How do you suffer happiness? And nobody can kind of, oh, I'm happy, I don't know, I'm suffering. Really? Only after me? What do you say, Sid? How do you suffer different types of happiness and distress? You ever thought about how you suffer happiness? Let's say we asked you to stand up and bang your head against the wall continuously, and that would be suffering, wouldn't it? Now, as soon as you stop banging your head against the wall, you would feel some relief. Now, you might call that relief happiness. But that's not really happiness, as I say. That's just relief that you stop banging your head. Now, what is actual happiness? To understand how happiness can be suffering, you have to know what real happiness is. Because obviously, real happiness doesn't make you suffer. It's a subtle thing. With this body, you're tasting the fruits of happiness and distress. Neither are you're not supposed to be tasting neither. Because your spirit, you're supposed to be tasting spirit. But in this material existence, you taste. You're forced to taste material happiness and material distress. Both are unwanted. Both will not satisfy it. It's not simply that the distress won't satisfy it, but also the happiness won't satisfy it. Because it's flickering. So when the light's on, do it, go on, do it again. See, you feel how you get a little hopeful when the light flashes on. You notice that? That is happiness. You get a little hopeful, but then it goes. And it comes again. It goes. It comes again, you get a little hopeful. It goes. So you spend your whole life caught, mesmerized by that flickering. Very disturbing, isn't it, the flickering light, isn't it? And that, therefore, it's suffering. Happiness and distress are suffering. Just like that flickering light. On off, on off, on off. It was disturbing. You just wanted a steady state, right? But you don't get that in the material world. You do not get a steady state. You get this flickering all the time. To have the steady state of real happiness, you have to get out of this material pool of existence and climb onto another shore. Because Steadiness doesn't exist in this world. As long as you're trying to chase material happiness, there'll always be that flickering. So when people say they just live day to day, that means they're just going from the flickering on position to the flickering off position to the flickering on. That's what they call day-to-day life. It can't get any more substantial. Real happiness, as described by Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, that is spiritual happiness, which has nothing to do with flickering. But as long as we identify with this body, we're subjected to this flickering happiness and distress, which is actually suffering. How can happiness be suffering? I think that's a hard point. What do you think, Jeff? How can happiness be suffering? Well, what is the...
suffering is attached to it. If it's attached to something, you have to grab it when you're not holding it. You want to be in a state of happiness. You do have to be in a state of happiness.
You don't want to be happy?
Yes, you want to. Everybody wants to achieve that. I mean, that's the suffering. You want to be attached to it all the time.
So, what's your solution?
There's no happiness.
So, then what are you going to do?
Well, you let go.
You let go, and then you're happy by letting go.
You learn to let go, and then you're not attached to those things that give you.
So where is your joy in life then?
By being in another state of happiness or consciousness or spiritual awareness.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. Bhagavad Gita would agree with you. By being in another consciousness, well, that other consciousness has nothing to do with material happiness.
No, but we live in the material world. So we live in the material world, so we aren't attached to things.
Do you have to?
No, we don't.
But you choose to.
You naturally choose to, but then if you get more conscious about what you're doing, you can let go, you can have a question, or you can...
Okay. And then what do you do when you let go?
You come to balance. You don't go into the things of heaven.
Oh, you just kind of stay in the middle, you do the flickering on and off?
No, as long as you're in the flickering, you can't be in the state of peace, so you have to...
How do you get out of the flickering? How do you get out of the flickering?
You switch off, or you leave the room, or you...
Okay. And when you leave the room, where do you go?
Into another room. You probably have more than one room. You have more than one option.
So, basically what you're saying is you have to get out of the ocean of material happiness and distress. Get out of material existence.
Yes, kind of get back into your mind. Settle in
your mind, but the mind is so flickering more than this light switch. He was
but you can control your mind.
You can, but do people actually control their mind? True, but do any schools teach that? And once you control your mind, then what? What's the goal of controlling your mind?
To get into a state of peace and fun, and get into a state of balance.
And then?
Then it's harder than things on the outside world can actually harm you. They can reach you, but they cannot really.
So you become like a stone?
No, actually not the opposite.
What's the opposite?
You become like a vessel which can look through, but you're not material anymore.
Okay, if you're not material anymore, now what do you do?
Well, you can just stay in the state and relax.
What do you do in that state?
You can
It sounds like it's more fun to be an illusion. At least you can do things.
Well,
it sounds like it's better to identify with your body. At least you can do something with your body.
Yes, of course. I think it's very helpful to not do anything.
Have you tried that?
Yes.
Have you been successful?
You can try the meditation.
And is stepping out of action, is that possible? To step out of action? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that everyone has to act in every moment, not possible to be inactive. That means even your mind will move, or even desire is a subtle form of activity. That'll happen. You can't shut yourself down to thinking. So therefore, the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to teach you how to act in perfection, since you must act. Just like a kid might be naughty, and you tell the kid you must stay in the corner. That's not the ultimate solution to the kid's problems, but the kid can't stay in the corner alone. The kid has to do something. The ultimate solution is to teach the kid how to behave properly. So our big problem is that we don't really understand the spirit soul. And therefore we're subject to this flickering happiness and distress of the material. You can go out on Courtney Place tonight and see the happiness. There's that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And then what happens when you see those same people Monday morning?
You're in next morning.
All right. Reminds you of a, I told you, old blues song. I used to know that as a kid. They call it Stormy Monday. But Tuesday's just as bad. Wednesday's worse, and Thursday's always close and sad. But the eagle flies on Friday. The eagle that refers to a sheep that in Chicago. The eagle flies on Friday, just like they do here. You see the other guys in the back. The eagle flies on Friday. Saturday I go out to play. Sunday I go to church and get on my knees and pray. This is the life cycle. I've heard that song, didn't you? Call it Stormy Monday. Tuesday's just as bad. Wednesday's worse, and Thursday's ever so sad. Guess the blues aren't popular anymore. It seems that if we're going to actually make some sense out of our life, we've got to dedicate our life to getting spiritual knowledge and living on it. What do you think? Sarah, what do you think? Can we ask you? What do you think? Okay, we've dealt with this mystical point about suffering different kinds of happiness and distress. I know it's hard for most of you to do it. Happiness and distress are agitations that affect the material mind. Beyond this flickering happiness and distress, there's spiritual happiness. So a transcendentalist doesn't want material happiness. It's a flickering thing that agitates the mind. Think about when you were materially happy. It was just a state of consciousness that was as agitating as distress. It's not natural. Because that happiness comes and goes, just like the distress comes and goes. Therefore, how can it be the real thing for you? Hey, do you live on the real?
This is an everlasting issue, the last anxiety is in the past, and the change of quality is in the
past. How does that sound? Everlasting is even that lasting desire. How does that sound? Do you see yourself everlastingly moved by lasting desire? Most people are like that, though.
How do you
think? I'm relaxing. Yep, the everlasting cool. I love to do this. Yeah, when you think about it, not only are you a fool this time, but birth after birth being a fool. See, the point of this verse, as Krishna says, the foolish can't understand these things. So it's not like, you know, it's a normal thing that you don't understand anything. It means you're foolish. So this is describing, this verse is describing how you're a super fool. The Sanskrit word for fool is muda. You can look in the word for word translations, and you'll see on the third line of the text, vimuta, foolish persons. See that? So, in Sanskrit, muda means fool, and when you have v in front of any word, it intensifies it. So vimuta means super fool. If we don't know the answers to these questions, then we're super fools. But would you be insulted if someone called you a super fool? Bad, it would be bad if they called you a fool. They'd say, hey Maria, you're a super fool. You wouldn't mind that, would you? But can you demonstrate that you know the answers to these questions? Yeah. And then you have to accept the verdict of Bhagavad Gita. What do you think, Jude? Did you say this to your mother or father?
No.
Well, how could your dad be ignorant? He's a property manager on the North Shore in Auckland. What could be better than that? You know that joke in Auckland? There's two kind of persons who live in Auckland. Those who live on the North Shore and those who live on the North Shore. But he's made it. He's a property manager. Living on the North Shore. How can he be ignorant? So, this verse is presenting how to be a super fool. Now, we've got to justify our existence. You don't like to be called a super fool, then show how it's not so.
What do you think? Super fool? Is that for you?
So this lust and desire spoils our power. It causes us to lose any capacity for understanding these basic points. This is why we don't understand the answer to the question. Because of inappropriate desires, we're desiring the wrong thing. Therefore, our consciousness has become clouded. And so, Krishna says, super cool. But, the last line is, Pashyanti Jnana Chakshusha. One whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. So that's the real purpose of education, that people can see these things. It doesn't say, can believe all this. It says, can see all this. This is the lesson that we're supposed to be learning. Liberate yourself from this super fool consciousness, you have to have some You have to have understanding of what you should be doing, where you should be. What's the real standard of pleasure? Otherwise you won't be motivated enough to give up the illusion. You'll just have some vague idea of spiritual soul. That won't get you out of illusion, having these vague ideas. The influences of ignorance are so strong in this world. If you just simply have a vague idea or a theoretical idea or some kind of religious belief idea, it's not going to do the job. Therefore, Krishna says here, for one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this, one can believe all this. Pashyanti can see jnana chakshusa. Those have eyes of knowledge. So, finally, we'll also read text 11, the next one. Yatanto yoginas chayinam pashyant yatmanyavastam yatanto yatikittamano nainam pashyant kichetasa. Yes, even though you try, if you're not endeavoring properly, you won't be able to see. Therefore, some of you had the experience, even when you tried to think, what is the purpose of life? Who am I? You couldn't get to any conclusion, right there. Embarrassing, and so out of frustration people just conclude, oh, there's no point thinking about these things. Unless you have a proper lifestyle of purification, you cannot understand these things, even if you try. Because your mind is not developed. Suppose someone came up to you and said, hey, Julie, you got offended at that. You'd be ticked off, wouldn't you? Yeah, you know, they just said it with a kind of negative attitude. You got offended at that. You'd kind of be insulted, wouldn't you? Yes. That's the natural view. Yeah, what's your problem? Yeah. Not on the wrong side of the bed, or what's wrong with you? But factually speaking, people's minds are undeveloped. Whether they're children or adults. How do you think this feels? You're 18 now? Have an undeveloped mind at 18. But then you're 48, still you have an undeveloped mind. That's what happens in material existence. Because people aren't learning what they're supposed to be learning. Therefore, they don't see what they're supposed to see. This is what Lord Krishna is commenting on in this chapter, the Yoga of the Supreme Person. If we're smart, we'll get training so that we can see all this. How the spirit soul takes one body after another. How it is that you get a particular type of body. Then you're living in reality. All right, any questions? Mm-hmm. Yeah, these things are not too much to think about, is there? It's kind of fun, isn't it? Just think, if you can figure all this out, you're really into something. What do you think, huh? No. And that's why we're studying Bhagavad Gita. It is the greatest one-volume book
existence. If you, for example, just put the time in to read this one volume, how long would you be good? A year. A bright person like you could read this book in a year. Your whole life would go from not knowing to knowledge. I know many persons have come here from England. They drop by here. The whole life goes in different directions. So I recommend you're worth it. You're just on the favor. Yeah. You're worth it. When you walk out, I will see that and be more. You'll have to make a conscious effort. I'm going to forget all that stuff I heard about this. I'm just going to get into what everybody else is doing. You'll have to work at it. Once you start to really think, it becomes a habit. It's like not thinking becomes a habit. Therefore, please remember, deal with these questions and then figure out your lifestyle. Don't get just dragged into so many situations when you can't answer these questions. To demand your rights as a human being has a right to get the answers to these questions.
Any questions?
Why? What does it say? According to your consciousness, the time of death in your previous life, you get a body that matches your consciousness. You see the pictures? Where are the pictures? Page? Just all of them? The pictures of a changing body, is that not that?
Oh, the same body, same one.
No. No, not that. Yeah, plate number 25. Turn to plate 25. Take a look at that. 825 and 26. It's interesting, huh? Turn to page 722. Hex 8. In the same chapter, the Yoga Sutra. Sariranga avapnoti yashtapyutkamatishvara. Gahi paitani sanyati vaya gandhan evashayat.
What did you say in the
And what do you think of that?
There you have the true picture of the struggle for existence. It's not just trying to earn a wage or whatever. It's the process of changing from one body to another. That's the struggle for existence. Because you're always changing bodies, you have to struggle. Okay. So please think about these things before you devise your lifestyle. Your life will be very productive. At least you can read Bhagavad Gita, which you haven't done so. It's the greatest single volume book in existence. Okay.